We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
New Amsterdam Vodka, it's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains, 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. How smooth is it there, Mr. Big Chest?
It is so smooth, we can drink it straight.
It's so smooth you can drink it straight. Doesn't mean you got to drink it straight. It just means if you are somebody who mixes your New Amsterdam Vodka with whatever, and you run out of that mixer, you do not have to panic. You don't even have to go to the store. Just drink it straight. It's so smooth, you can drink it straight. They got flavored vodkas if you're into that. Grapefruit, apple, peach, orange, mango, pineapple, red berry, coconut, lemon, raspberry. Try one. Try them all. Mix them together. Get freaky deaky. Don't matter to me. Just next time you are in a restaurant or bar or wine and spirit store, you ask for it by name. New Amsterdam Vodka. And understand, if you're on a gluten-free diet, there is also a gluten-free New Amsterdam Vodka available for you. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web. NewAmsterdamSpirits.com. NewAmsterdamSpirits.com. 505 Gary Parrish Show. 92.9 FM ESPN. And I'm joined now by your award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show. It's Jeff Calkins. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, Gary. Thanks.
You were working late last night, because I was working late last night, and I saw you tweeting columns at like 1 o'clock in the morning. You had a late night, Jeff.
I'm not good at, so I went to the Manziel thing, right? And then I transcribed it, and then I was trying to bang the bet column out before the game started.
That's what she said.
And then, but I get distracted. I don't know how, I'm not a good multitasker. So I was at the game trying to write the Manziel column, the Tigers game, and I just couldn't focus on it. I didn't know what to focus on. You focus on Tyler Harris hitting threes from the international line, or do you focus on the Manziel column, or what do you do? So I ended up doing all my interviews, came home, finished the Manziel column, put it up at midnight, and then wrote a Memphis Tiger column and put that up at 2. and then you're up. And so then I went to bed at 2:30. So then right. I napped. Now I napped. I'm old now. I can't. John on my show today was ready to check me into an old folks home. So anyway.
Yeah, don't tell anybody. I got a nap in this afternoon myself.
Yeah.
I've started to appreciate that. Now, waking up from a nap, I think, is difficult. I think it's hard to get going again. That's what she said, Brad.
That's what she said.
It is. But it is because, I don't know, like I'm sluggish. Some people think they recharge. Are you recharged by a nap, or do you are you sluggish after a nap?
I'm 100. I've recharged. Like, I feel great as after a nap. Like, I reach
immediately,
particularly
after
today.
A nap? Immediately?
No, I mean, but I got. So here's what I did. I was up late last night, like, I don't know, 3:30, 4 in the morning. We didn't even get through recording our podcast till 1 a.m.
Right.
And so, and then I had to get up early this morning and walk to the CBS Broadcast Center to do some CBS Sports HQ stuff. We had an hour show live. And I just knew that, okay, I've got stuff I need to be doing, but if I don't take a nap, I'm going to be miserable the rest of the day, just tired all day. And the list of things I'm going to have to do, it never goes away. It's all going to be there. And so I can try to get a nap in right now and feel good the rest of the day while I'm working late into the night again, or I can just be miserable all day long, tired all day long, and I'm still going to be working all night. And so
here's my question. Okay. My question is, I'm not even talking about this president, just generally. Presidents aren't that busy, right? I mean, they're busy, but they're not that busy. Why are we so busy? Like, everybody out there in life is busy, and yet presidents, like, they have their schedule, and they seem to get enough sleep, and they play golf, and they go on vacations. I'm not even mean this president. I just mean other presidents. Maybe I need a chief of staff.
Well, like, I remember reading that President Obama had it built into his schedule every day. We could be in a war, not a war. It could be the busiest day of the year, not the busiest day of the year. Every day, he's got an hour to work out. And I sit here and go,
that's great. Why can't we do that?
Well, I think we can. We don't. I think I think it is possible to find an hour to do whatever it is you want to do. Read a book, meditate, take a nap, go work out. If you commit to doing it, it's just what happens is we at least this is what happens with me. I put off doing these things that I want to do, whether it's like, hey, get caught up on a Netflix show or get on the treadmill, any of these things. I'll put them off because I'll say I'm too busy to do it right now, and then you really do get too busy to do it. But if you would have just said, you know what, I'm going to go do it right now, and then I will restart my day and just start knocking off the things I have to do after that, I think what you'll find is you'll realize you didn't need that hour as much as you thought you needed that hour. Because think about what it is we end up doing. You end up reading Twitter for first 15 minutes.
That's what happens. You end up reading Twitter for 15 minutes. There's no question.
Yeah.
Or you just get to go to Twitter. But okay, let me ask you this. At age 57, and I don't know, what are you, 40, what are you, 41?
I'm 42.
42. Is it too late to change?
No, I don't think so.
You know, even me?
No, I don't think it's ever too late to change. If you're still like, no, you just have to do it.
Make that change.
You just have to make that change.
Just make that change.
Wow. Well,
first off, tell me what you want to change.
Brad gave up gluten. Yeah, he just gave up gluten, and that changed.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to change?
I want to work out every day. And
okay, here's what somebody would tell you. The best way to do it is have a trainer. Because you will, if you
that's true. That's true. But that involves money.
Be careful with that, though. Be careful with that, I think. Yeah, because, like, I got a Nazi trainer once. Like, it was crazy. Not literally, but you know what I'm saying. Like, crazy trainers, they'll work you to do
it. A trainer.
Yeah.
I had a trainer once.
Or how about this? You need somebody, maybe not a trainer then, but somebody to work out. In other words, somebody to hold you accountable. Because what will happen is if you say, I'm going to work out every day before the show at 7:30 a.m.
Yeah,
or every day immediately after the show at 11:30 a.m., you will find a reason more often than not, if you're wired the way you're wired, to not go. Well, I need to prep for the show a little bit more, or God, I've got to dive into this column a little bit more. The truth is, you could always make 45 minutes and you won't miss those 45 minutes, but you'll think of reasons that you can't do it. Whereas if somebody's there waiting for you, well, I got to go. Think of it just like if you told somebody.
I don't want anyone involved in my life. Honestly,
I know I don't want anybody that involved in my life either.
This is true about both of you.
What you're saying is like this is like saving. Pay yourself first, right? Like you have to just have to when you save the money, to have it taken right out of your paycheck, right into the 401k, so you don't miss it. It's mandatory. Same thing with the workout. It's mandatory. You have to program these things. If you want to live this kind of a life, you have to program as opposed to the life I'm living. You have to program these things into your life.
So I mean, that is the way you have to do it. It has to become like there are things you wake up and do every day: brush your teeth, take a shower. You know, whatever it is. For me, it's ranked basketball teams. Like in theory, why do I have time to rank basketball teams every day? But I do it. I just wake up and I do it. I never say, you know, I don't have time to do this today because it's something that has to be done every day. And if I would commit to working out as much as I commit to ranking basketball teams, I'd probably feel better, right?
Do you love it when you ranked for the last time?
Dude, it's so nice. Like because during the season, there is never – I have two options every 24-hour period. I can either do it late at night so that I don't have to do it tomorrow morning, up and do it tomorrow morning. And when I submitted the top 25 and won Monday morning and knew that's the last time I've got to do this till November – it's like a big.
You don't do one final one, and then you do an advanced one.
No,
look ahead. I'm sure.
No,
right?
The next.
Like that.
Yeah, the next top 25 and one will be the preseason one that publishes on the night of the national championship game, and that is a pain in the ass because you've got to project a lot of rosters.
Yeah, where's Memphis going to be ranked?
In the top 25 somewhere. I haven't. Yes, I'll put them in there just because I don't want to have to deal with Memphis fans, you know, asking me why I didn't put them in there.
Is Memphis
so
gonna be
no matter where
it is. Is Memphis going to be in the AP top 25 next year at preseason?
You want to know what that comes down to?
I want to know the honest truth.
It comes down to where I put them.
Oh, why? Because people
I build the AP
people. By you.
Right. I influence
really
the AP people.
You're an influencer.
Yes, there's been a guy who did a study on this, that the poll attacks combined with the top 25 and one actually do influence the AP poll. And I think even more so, it influences the preseason AP poll because most beat writers are just well, it's not even they don't want to do the work. They might not even be equipped to do the work.
They know their team. Right, yeah.
And so it won't just be me. Like, I'll have a top 25 and one. Rob Doster will have a top 25. ESPN will have a top 25. And then AP voters will just work off of those lists. And so the truth is, the preseason AP poll almost always is just a reflection of whatever me and maybe three other people said it should look like.
I get the sense that's also true, honestly, for mock drafts, both in the NBA and in the NFL, right? You only know who the people are. I mean, obviously, Zion was going to be in everyone's mock draft, right? But some of this is that all mock drafts, you just look at the same mock draft, and then you start moving the pieces around. And you say, no, I think this would be a better fit here. I like him a little better than him. But you only got the idea of the even if A, they exist, and B, the neighborhood they should be in because you saw them on a mock draft.
I think that's – speaking as somebody who does mock drafts, I think that's true. Because you don't want to be too out of line.
You don't know international players, right? You see them. You don't know international players, particularly. You've never seen international players.
So I've got two guys in my mock draft right now.
Yeah, who do you got?
I've never seen them play.
What international players do you have right now in the mock draft?
Oh, I don't even know their names. I just know that I just know that Jonathan Givony had them really high, and Sam Vecenie had them really high. And so then I've got to have them somewhere. I mean, that as long as you want me to be transparent, that is the way this stuff works.
I mean, how the hell would you know where so-and-so from Lithuania should be ranked?
Right. Like, if Jonathan Givony and Sam Vecenie conspired to put a made-up person in the top 15 of their mock drafts, I'd just be like, well, I guess I got to have him in the top 20 somewhere. I mean, that's the way it works. I mean, I have real opinions on I prefer DeAndre Hunter over Cam Reddish. I prefer R.J. Barrett over Ja Morant, but yes, it does become a little bit of a group thing, and that's why I'm always hesitant.
That's what she
said. You'll hear leading up to a draft, people will say things like, so-and-so's rising in the mock drafts, and maybe they are, but they might not actually be rising on the Grizzlies board or the Bucks board. The Grizzlies board and the Bucks board might have always looked this way. The mock drafts are just catching up. I will say this, though. I do usually, before I publish a mock draft, I'll send it to a handful of NBA scouts that I'm close with and just say, tell me the dumbest things you see. Tell me the smartest things you see. Tell me the dumbest things you see. And I do find that to be a worthwhile exercise because every once in a while I'll have somebody say, there's just no way that kid's going in the lottery, even though he's a lottery talent because, you know, he's a gang member who, like, has a drug problem. You know, you can't have him anywhere close to that. We're not – nobody's going
to
touch him.
Said to you, and because he's a gang member? Ever said to you because he's a gang member?
Well, there's a player – who is going to be in this 2019 draft, who everybody talks about as a lottery pick. You could probably figure out who he is by the context clues I'll give here. Mm-hmm. But when I started asking some NBA people about him, they were like, he's just got so many personal red flags. Like, one of his parents was murdered. He grew up bouncing from home to home. He's impossible to coach. His teammates don't like him. And so just on pure ability, like if you watch his highlights, you go, my God, there's no way this guy's not going in the top 10. But in truth, he might not go in the top 25 because there's real risk there from a personal perspective as opposed to a basketball perspective. I've heard that kind of stuff a lot, sure.
Right. Okay, and then
there was a player a few years ago that I know had a reputation as a, quote, gang member, and it cost him on draft night. He went significantly lower than where most mock drafts had him going, and the reason I was told is because there was questions about whether he was actually, like, a real-life gang member.
Right. So when you post your field, your bracket, you feel pretty comfortable about that. I heard you talking about this within whatever. You may like one or two teams right or one or two teams wrong. But everyone's going to, if you know the right. How do you feel when you post your bracket? Doesn't that just seem like a perilous thing to do? I saw you posted your bracket. I just would hate that.
like, I don't pretend that it's like I'm not operating under the illusion that it's going to look good 48 hours from now. Like that is what makes the NCAA tournament terrific, is that you get, you know, it's a single elimination tournament, and so you do get upsets and inferior teams beating superior teams, and unless you just get lucky predicting upsets, your bracket's probably not going to look good. In fact, the only way for your bracket to look good is if you like mostly play it chalk, and then the tournament's boring because the teams that are supposed to win. But I didn't realize I was doing this as I filled the bracket out. But when I'm done and then I'd look at it, every regional final, I have the 1 seed playing the 2 seed. Now, there's nothing exciting about that, right. But I think it lines up with the way this season has unfolded, which is another reason it's difficult to fill out a bracket for somebody like me, because I've been watching these teams and talking about these teams all and ranking these teams all season. So why would I pick a clearly inferior team to beat a clearly superior team? And so I've got it 1-2 in every regional final. But check this out. I went and looked this up, I guess it was yesterday or 2 days ago. The top 8 seeds. So it's Duke, Virginia, Gonzaga, North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, Michigan State, Michigan. The top 8 seeds. If you go back to the last week of January and look at the AP poll, those 8 teams were ranked 1-9. They were in the top 9 of the AP poll. They've been good. These are the teams that have established themselves as the best in the country and have remained the best in the country. And so I don't think it's crazy to just trust them to perform in this tournament, because these aren't teams that had a lot of ups and downs. They were teams that were – these are largely teams that were supposed to be good and have been good pretty much all season.
So what 3 seed do you like best?
I have – let me look at a bracket here. This is also the type of year you got to have a bracket sitting close to you at all times in case somebody asks you a question.
Ask you a question.
Texas Tech is one. You got.
I would say Texas Tech probably, because I don't think there's a massive difference between Texas Tech, Michigan, and Gonzaga in terms of ability. Like, if you put those 3 teams in a round robin situation, like, and just kept playing and playing and playing, they'd all beat each other about as often as they lose to each other. I do think Gonzaga's the best team in that region, and I think better than the other two. But I don't think it's significant. I believe the West is the most wide open, and Texas Tech, therefore, the most dangerous 3 seed.
I was listening to our sister station, Buffalo, New York, which I do occasionally, and they were playing a game, if you ever heard of it, called Pick 9. Where, have you ever heard of this game? So you get to pick any nine teams for the whole field. But what you do is, at the end, you multiply their seed times how many wins they have. So I think Loyola was at 11 last year, right? Or something. I think they were in 11 last year, right? They won 4 games. That's 44 points. So if you pick Villanova, would they win 6 games?
Yes.
They win 6 games? Yeah. You get 6. So it's an interesting way to do it. And my law firm, what they used to do, all these people were rich, and they would put together, they would literally buy teams. They would put together consortiums within the law firm, right? And you'd have a bidding. And you'd Georgetown's up for sale now. And how much is it going to go for? And you get to you bid them, and you pay $10,000 for Georgetown, and you now that's in your consortium owns Georgetown, and all this money goes into the pot. It is. I mean, the bracket is obviously the simplest way to do it, but there's a lot of different ways people do this.
No, I have buddies who are in that kind of thing. They bought Duke last night for I think $1,300, and felt good about it. You know. Like they felt like they
nice
got a bargain.
Purchase. Yeah.
So, but to circle back to your original question, we were talking about Memphis and will it be in the top 25 of the preseason AP poll? I would say yes, but I would also, and this is something I pointed out before, and it's not to be Debbie Downer. Like, I couldn't be more excited for Memphis basketball in its current form and Memphis basketball's future, but I will say that everything that people are excited about with Memphis basketball is, for the most part, rooted in the recruiting class, which is a top 10 recruiting class in the country. And if you look at who had some of the best recruiting classes in the country last season, it didn't guarantee what it is Memphis fans and I think is on the way. Like, Oregon had the number 3 recruiting class in the country last season. They snuck into the NCAA tournament. They needed to win the auto bid in the Pac-12 to get there. UCLA had the number 6 recruiting class in the country last season. Fired its coach on New Year's Eve. Texas had the 8th best recruiting class last year. Did not make the NCAA tournament.
Indiana. Where was Indiana last year?
10th, and did not make the NCAA tournament. So there is three of the top 10 classes in America last year. They did not result. Forget top 25. They didn't even result in making the NCAA tournament. And if you wanted to do top 25, of the top 10 recruiting classes in the country, only 6. 6 of the 10 are in the top 25 right now. 4 of the 10 are not. So these incredible recruiting classes, they are absolutely the type of thing you should be excited about, but they do not guarantee that you're going to have the type of basketball team that is consistently in the top 25 or even makes the NCAA tournament.
No, and it's pretty clear that wherever you rank this team next year, there are a bunch of – there's certainly some of Josh's teams. I think one of Josh's teams was preseason number 8. I mean, we think that this is like the biggest expectation since Calipari. No, some of those Josh teams were consistently ranked in the top 25, preseason, mind you. and I think one of them, the I don't know if it was the Four Kings year, was preseason number 8. And this there's no way this team's going to be ranked in the top 10 next year, is there? They'll be in the top 25, but not in the top 10. They'll be 18, right?
Yeah. Well, how about this? So, I've compared the roster Memphis is going to have next season a lot to the LSU roster that just won an outright SEC championship, right, in terms of they had some interesting pieces coming back, and then they had a top 10 recruiting class, you know, 2 5-stars, another 4-star. And Memphis's recruiting class, like, depending on what else they get done here, has a chance to look a lot like LSU's recruiting class. The comparisons there, by the way, I'm not implying anything, but in terms of quality of freshman enrolling and quality of what you've got returning, I think Memphis is going to look next season a lot like LSU looked coming into this season, and LSU was 23rd in the preseason AP poll. Now, that might have been low, but that's where they were.
Right. Yeah. It is sort of amazing to think it's been a year, isn't it? A year since that first press conference?
Well, you mentioned in your column, and I'd already made note of it because I knew it was around this time, and then I Googled it last night. I was like, oh, wow, it is actually – on Wednesday. I mean, it is March 20th. Penny was introduced a year ago today. And I went back and read the column I wrote from that day, and it was nothing that I had not said on the radio at that point a million times about why Tubby Smith absolutely had to be fired and why Penny Hardaway absolutely had to be his replacement. And the three things I touched on was that, you know, I acknowledge, like, we'll see how it goes. There are reasons to be skeptical. I think even Penny understands that. But there are certain things that he is almost certainly going to fix with a snap of the fingers, and that is attendance, it is the money problems, and it is recruiting. And if you look up, again, literally a year to the day that Penny Hardaway was introduced as Memphis's next basketball coach, he fixed all of those things. He fixed attendance, he fixed the money problems, and even though he inherited a program that had zero top 150 prospects in it, according to 24/7 Sports, he fixed recruiting quickly because he's got 2 in their program right now, Tyler Harris and Antoine Jones, and he's got at least 4 more top 150 guys on the way. The second season of Penny Hardaway will have at the very least 6 top 150 players on the roster, whereas when he took over, when he was introduced on the morning of March 20th, 2018, he didn't have a single one. So, you know, that, to me, that's like A's across the board, not to mention the on-the-court product was actually better than it was supposed to be as well.
Oh, there's A's across the board. The on-the-court product was better. And then the other question was the whole sort of public part of it. And that's dramatically better than people – and his staff, too, right? I think people wondered about his staff. The real questions were the on-the-court part, the wondering about the staff, and then will Penny give up his privacy and be – and A's across the board, too. Last night was interesting because it was it was such a meaningless game, and yet it was this wildly just celebratory feel to it. It was really like people were celebrating each other and themselves and the institution that was Memphis basketball. Like there was an offensive foul called on Alo, and Memphis was up comfortably at the time, and it was an NIT first round game, and it was like it when you met, the booing was just thunderous, absolutely incredible, and it was really just fun. It was like, okay, this has been a great year, and we get to enjoy it one more time, and it was a rollicking atmosphere. It was honestly, I think this goes to the sort of economics of the Memphis fan base a little bit. It was probably just as many people. I didn't look at the numbers, and I don't know if the numbers are accurate anyway. But it felt like just as many people who were there Saturday for a semifinal game against Houston. And then people were having such a good time. It was really, it was great. It was really great. I think everything that you had hoped, and you remember to call, like there are national people who were ripping this higher a year ago. A year ago today, there were national people who were ripping this higher. And I'm not saying everything's always going to come true, and I'm not saying everything's always going to be great. I talked to Vicky Finch last night, and her husband was ultimately fired. But everything that was hoped for a year ago on this day has absolutely come true.
I'm talking to Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Last thing before I let you go, Mike Singletary, coach of the Memphis Express, was asked earlier today if Johnny Manziel looks like he's ready to play, and his answer was absolutely. It does sort of suggest that that we might really see Johnny Manziel inside Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium this weekend, right?
Yeah, I think the only question is whether he'll start him or not. I think you'll see him. I think there's no question you'll see him. I mean, I think there's when you say absolutely, to me there is a you don't say that and then
Singletary said today they're not going to start him, right? I mean, that was the statement.
Right, they're not going to. Yeah, and so, but I think he gets snaps. I think he gets snaps. Honestly, like the other guy's named Brandon Silver, I believe. Like he went on about how he looks good. He handled the offense. I mean, I hate to say this right now, this guy Brandon Silvers, I hope that's his name. People want him to fail miserably.
Yeah, it's Brandon Silvers.
They want him to fall on his face, right? But so you can get to Johnny, and I don't. Like he's probably a wonderful guy, But people want to see Johnny, and you'll see more of him if Silvers throws two picks. It's just true.
Yeah, you need two picks or a mild ankle sprain.
Let's not wish for injury. Let's go for the picks.
Nothing severe. We're not wishing for a concussion.
I think if you were a quarterback, you would rather have the mild ankle sprain than the two picks. Because one is failure, right? And you're pulled. You don't want that. I think, Brad, we're not talking about a mate. Brad,
they're 1-5, Jeff. They're 1-5.
He's talking about a tweak of the ankle. He's talking about a tweak of the ankle.
Oh, and like a tweak, like a quickie tweak, and then the kid comes in?
A tweak, so he can't, so Johnny has to come in.
We need him to be out of the game, Jeff. We don't want him throwing footballs.
No, I understand that. Just a tweak. I don't wish him ill. I'm not going to. Brandon Silver's, knock yourself out.
A freaking voodoo doll.
No, but it is sort of going to be an interesting dynamic. People are going to go show up to that game, and they're going to want to see Johnny. Like, they just do. Like, he is an incredibly compelling character. He just is. There's no question.
That is Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He'll be back in studio tomorrow at 9 a.m. I'll see you.
See ya. Bye.
All right, we'll be back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Regularly, you probably know my wife and I had a baby at Regional One Health a couple of years ago. And the reason we were at Regional One is because we were in an emergency, high-risk situation. We knew from the jump that if we ever even got to the point of delivery, and that was unlikely, that it would be a dicey situation. And so our doctor, Dr. Jacques Sampson, advised us to have everything done at Regional One. He said that's where he felt most comfortable. He said that's the hospital that's best equipped to handle the situation we're going to find ourselves in if we're lucky enough to find ourselves in it. He could not have been more correct. The folks there at Regional One treated us incredibly, took great care of our little boy, of our entire family, and we'll owe him forever. But one of the things I've tried to remind you of subsequent to that is that you do not have to be in an emergency situation like we were to take advantage of the wonderful care at Regional One Health. And the East Campus Imaging Center is a great example of that. It's recommended, you know, that women 40 and up get an annual mammogram, and you can get that done at the East Campus Imaging Center. Not doing it could cost you dearly. Doing it could save your life. So if you're a woman 40 or up, you need to get that done, and you can schedule it at 515-3600, 515-3600. The East Campus Imaging Center is located 6555 Quince Road. So it's right there where 385 crosses Kirby Parkway. Easy to find, easy to get to. The East Campus Imaging Center. You can learn more at regionalonehealth.org. That's regionalonehealth.org. It's 540 Gary Parrish Show. We're here on 92.9 FM ESPN. NCAA tournament about to get restarted. North Carolina Central, North Dakota State tipping off any moment now on True TV. That'll be followed by St. John's, Arizona State tipping at 8:10. And then the real tournament, the traditional bracket, gets going tomorrow. The first game's going to tip at 11:15 Central. So by the time I sit down with this microphone at 4 o'clock Central, we're going to have teams advancing. We're going to have teams eliminated. And the early Thursday schedule is actually pretty good. It starts at 11:15 on CBS. It's America's Most Watched Networks, the network of stars, America's Most Awarded Network, Minnesota Louisville. So it's the Richard Pitino against the University of Louisville game. Richard Pitino against the school that fired his father. That's at 11:15 Central on CBS. Then at 11:40 Central, you got Yale LSU. So that's also interesting, because it's the outright SEC champs playing in the NCAA tournament without its suspended head coach, Will Wade. I did not pick Yale to win that game, but I could certainly see Yale putting a scare into LSU. Keep in mind, without Will Wade, they're 1-1, lone win over a winless in the SEC Vanderbilt team, and the loss was to Florida. At 12:30 Eastern, the next game is going to be New Mexico State and Auburn. And Auburn's a 5.5-point favorite, but this is a 12-5 game, and 12-5 games about 34% of the time actually go the way of the 12 seed. And this New Mexico State team is really, really good. 30-4. And in the NCAA tournament for the second year under second-year head coach Chris Jans. So he made it in his first year, made it in his second year. Chris is somebody I've known for a long, long time. He was on staff with Greg Marshall at Wichita State. He was a part of the Final Four team at Wichita State, and now he's at New Mexico State. They've played 34 times this season, won 30 of those games. I won't be shocked if Auburn finds itself in a real fight against that team that tips at 12:30 Central. It's on TNT. After that, 1 o'clock Central, Vermont, Florida State. Nothing that interesting there. Florida State's a weird team. They're 14-2 in their past 16 games, with the lone losses coming to, I believe, North Carolina and Duke. They beat Virginia in that stretch, and like they just don't register. Nobody cares. I mean, they're a four seed. They've been playing tremendously for about the past month and a half, but you know, they're not a blue blood program. They're not a big basketball brand. They do not have an All-American candidate. They do not have a lottery pick, so they don't really move the needle, but that's a good basketball team. That game starts at 1 Central on TBS. 1:45 Central, you get Bradley against Michigan State. Michigan State should roll them, no problem. Then at 2:10 Central, Belmont and Maryland. Maryland's only a 3-point favorite, even though this is a 6-11 game. A lot of people got Belmont advancing to the round of 32. I actually think it ends for them in this game. Keep in mind, they didn't get a good time slot here. They played late last night in Dayton, had to fly to Jacksonville, and now they're playing tomorrow afternoon. I don't know why the selection committee can't just agree that the team that plays in the first four late Tuesday night plays late Thursday night, and the team that plays in the first four late Wednesday night plays late Friday night. I don't think you should have to play late on a Tuesday night and early on a Thursday, but they don't let me make those types of decisions. I've got Maryland at beating Belmont tomorrow afternoon. 3 o'clock Eastern, Dedrick Lawson will play in the NCAA tournament for the first time. Kansas and Northeastern. Northeastern is a 6.5-point underdog. I've actually got Northeastern winning the game. I figured you got to take upset somewhere in the bracket. Yep. A really good 3-point shooting Northeastern team against a flawed Kansas team because of no Legerald Vick, no Yudoka Azubuike, I thought was a decent spot. So I took Northeastern to win that game. And then at 3:30 Central, you get what is probably the most interesting individual matchup that we're going to have in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. That's Murray State against Marquette. It's going to be in Hartford, Connecticut, again, tipping at 3:30 Central on TBS. That means Ja Morant, projected top three pick 2019 NBA draft, against Marcus Howard, who is an All-American just like Ja Morant. Both of those players averaged 25 points per game this season. Now, they get their points in different ways. Marcus Howard is almost everything at the three-point line or at the free-throw line. Ja Morant gets most of his stuff at the rim and at the free-throw line. One is an incredible shooter, the other an incredible athlete. But that, if you are somebody scouting NBA prospects or just like to see two high-level cards going back and forth at each other, you really can't do much better than Murray State Marquette. That tips at 3:30 Central, and then I'll be sitting right here at 4 o'clock. We'll walk you through everything that happened and keep you updated in real time in the games that are going on, because the NCAA tournament on that Thursday and Friday, it is basically from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., one game after another after another, and you really never know where the story's going to develop. You know, who knew Loyola Chicago was going to be a thing until it became a thing? Who knew Florida Gulf Coast was going to be a thing until it became a thing? Who could have imagined this time last year UMBC was about to become the story of the tournament, knocking off Virginia, becoming the first 16 to beat a one? So it really is. I'm not the college basketball columnist, analyst who tries to overstate things. I don't think it's the best thing in the world. Like the Super Bowl.
You don't like think it's the best, huh?
Well, like, I hate it when people who have jobs like me try to say nothing's better than college basketball, because there's plenty of things better than college basketball. Like the NBA is probably better than college basketball. College football is probably better than college basketball. Yeah. Professional football is probably better than college basketball. But there aren't many things better than the Thursday, Friday of the NCAA tournament. It really is a blast because you get storylines you didn't even know exist. You follow the storylines you thought would be there, and you get one surprise after another. This is the one event that never lets you down. That's the most accurate thing I could say about it.
That's what she said.
We get bad Super Bowls sometimes. Mm-hmm. We get bad World Series sometimes. Mm-hmm. We get bad NBA Finals sometimes. You do not get bad NCAA tournaments. It might take till Thursday night or Friday afternoon or maybe even Saturday night before something just gets flipped on its head and everybody's going, what in the world? This is March Madness. But we always get there. Sometimes it happens in the early games on Thursday. Sometimes you have to wait a little longer. But this is an event. It does not let you down. You get a good NCAA tournament every time they play this thing, and I would expect nothing less than that starting tomorrow at 11:15 when Louisville, Minnesota kick off the main portion of the 2019 NCAA tournament bracket. Be back with dinner to go.
Here at 92.9 FM ESPN, we realize it's that special time of your life where you don't do much of anything except do brackets. And women, well, they like brackets too. But for dudes, it's a special time to focus on winning, on the majesty that is the college basketball tournament, and a time where they get vasectomies. Get in the book at Horseshoe Bracket Challenge, presented by Papa John's, now at 92.9ESPN.com. And don't forget that bag of frozen peas there, Tiger.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So Bill,
a grip grind to my wrist lock.
Cooper Systems over in the Mount Moriah Office Park, on the web, coopersystems.com. If you need anything computer related, you call Lee and Lauren Cooper at 360-9679, 360-9679. If you tell them what kind of computer you need, or more accurately, what it is you're going to be doing on a computer, they can find a computer that's perfectly suited for you. Because here's the truth. The big box stores, they just got the new best computers that have all of this stuff on it that you may not need. Like, if you're going to be making music videos, you might need to spend a few thousand dollars on a computer. But if you're just playing around on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, just surfing the web like a normal human, you don't need to go spend $2,000 or even $1,000 on a computer. You can get something for a few hundred dollars. You can get it at Cooper Systems. They're either going to have what you need or they can get what you need, or they can build what you need, gaming computers included. PCs and Macs. You want a MacBook Air? You can get one for $599 at Cooper Systems. So next time you or anybody you know needs a computer, think of Cooper Systems. 360-9679, 360-9679. They're over the Mount Moriah Office Park on the web, coopersystems.com. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, but we mostly, at least in the opening segment, spent a lot of time on college basketball, specifically the University of Memphis basketball program, because they played their first round NIT game last night, won it 74-60. So up next is a game at Creighton. Date time to be determined, but Jeremy Martin got 21 points on 12 shots. Tyler Harris added 16 points off the bench. Tigers are now 22-13 overall, 18-3 inside FedEx Forum, and all the way up to 61st at KenPom. That's the highest they've been this season at any point, and the highest they've been at any point since December 2016. That was the December of Josh Pastner's final year as the Memphis coach. So I just thought it lined up pretty perfectly, given that Penny Hardaway was hired literally 1 year ago today, or at least introduced publicly as Memphis's coach 1 year ago today. It came on March 20th, 2018. And if you fast forward to March 20th, 2019, keep in mind he inherited a program that finished 161st at KenPom last season. Now it's 61st at KenPom, an improvement of 100 spots. And there's a million different ways to highlight how much better off the program is on March 20th, 2019 than it was on March 20th, 2018. But that one computer number is a pretty good place to start. And now we'll see if they can improve on that number, make a run in this NIT.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Rockets and Grizzlies inside FedEx Forum, downtown Memphis. Houston's 45-26, alone in third in the West. Grizz 28-42, alone in 13th in the West. Rockets are a 5.5-point favorite tonight. Tip scheduled for 7 o'clock. You can listen right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
What should I watch on TV?
You know what? Amy Schumer's got a new stand-up special. It's about an hour on Netflix. It's called Growing. She did it in Chicago while she's pregnant. And I watched it like late last night. I was just like put something on while I try to fall asleep at 4 in the morning. And I ended up watching the whole thing. I thought it was really, really good. So if you're into Amy Schumer or just stand-up comedy or just Netflix, looking for something new to dive into, I'll give you that recommendation. Amy Schumer Growing just released this week on Netflix.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
You know, Jeff filed a column late last night about Johnny Manziel, and it touched on John Kilzer and, you know, the different paths that addiction can lead you down, and sort of used it as an explanation that, yeah, he can be somebody who makes Johnny Manziel jokes, but also be somebody who's really pulling for Johnny Manziel to, A, get his life figured out, but perhaps this football thing as well. If you haven't read that yet, go find it, dailymemphian.com.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Well, it'll be Thursday, first real day of the NCAA tournament. I have John Martin in the first hour, Jeff Calkins in the second. I'll be live for both hours, so we'll keep you up to date on the NCAA tournament. We'll recap everything that's happened right at 4 o'clock. Should be fun. Enjoy your night. I'm going to enjoy mine. We're going to meet back here tomorrow at 4. Till then, be careful. Be kind. Be good. Rep your hood.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. Home of the Jason and John Show. Weekdays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN. A radio.com sports station.
Let's up your life with Let's.
Experience the difference of a Spartan mower. Spartan not only looks amazing on and off the lawn, it's packed with standard features like GT Track for precision traction, balance, and control, with optional features like radial front tires and an all-new 360 floating seat for an incredibly comfortable ride. Take command of your yard. Take command of your time. Take command of your life by joining one of the fastest-growing mower companies in the world, Lads, for your zero-turn and golf car needs.
Lads, up your life with Lads. Lads, up your life.
Between work, kids, and errands, I didn't have time to get a loan. But with the Flex Loan from Advance Financial, I got the cash I needed and never left my living room. The Flex Loan from Advance Financial was perfect for me. I was able to take care of my business on my terms. This is not a payday loan. It's an open line of credit, and I can get the cash I need and never leave the house. Visit any 24/7 location or af247.com and get the cash you need today. Advance Financial. Welcome.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.